Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow children of God. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. This, of course, is known as the Great Commission. It's also where Jesus gave the institution of baptism. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the introduction to our vacation Bible school this past week, I asked our students, who comes to mind when you think of someone who was sent out on a mission? And I showed them several pictures of several possible answers. Maybe you'd think of a super spy, like some of the spies in the Mission Impossible movie series. Maybe you think of a secret agent, like James Bond. Or maybe you think of soldiers sent out on military missions. I also made the point that sometimes the person who is sent on a mission is someone you might not expect. Our vacation Bible school was, of course, focused on people sent on a very different type of mission than the ones that I mentioned in the introduction. Not top secret spy missions or military operations, but missions to spread the gospel, the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. So the theme of our vacation Bible school this past week was missionaries of Christ. And yes, it did include some people who we wouldn't have expected to be missionaries, including the very first one that we looked at on Monday, which was the Apostle Paul. He was a very unexpected missionary because he was at first a violent persecutor of Christians. But he was converted by Christ to become the greatest missionary of all time. We also made the point that all of us, as believers in Christ, are missionaries of Christ. That might be unexpected also, because some of our students who were there with us were only 3 years old, 4 years old. So yes, even the youngest among us, the 3 and 4 year olds, up to the oldest among us, are called by Christ to be his missionaries. You see a picture of the cover of our workbooks for the week from the Vacation Bible School in the bulletin at the sermon point in the bulletin or on your printed copies of the sermon. And you'll notice on those books it has the list of the 5 missionaries we learned about: Paul, Philip, Stephen, Peter, and Lydia. And there is a blank line on each children's workbook where you're supposed to put your name, because you too are a missionary of Christ. A good reminder to them and to us that you are a missionary. But what if you weren't at Vacation Bible School this past week? Is it still true that you are a missionary of Christ? Absolutely. How can we say that with such certainty? Well, it's because Jesus gave us and all believers our mission. He gave us our mission when he spoke the words of the Great Commission in our text, when he said, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." In other words, Jesus is telling us that he wants his believers, his followers, which is what the word disciple means, he wants his disciples to go out and make more followers, to make more disciples of Jesus. How was that done? Well, Jesus doesn't give us a how-to manual here at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, but he does tell us the means by which we are to make disciples. He says we baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we teach them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. A reference, of course, to all of Jesus' words, the Word of God. In other words, Jesus is telling us to use what we call the means of grace, the tools God gives us, or the instruments God gives us to give us His grace. That is the gospel, in the Word and in the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. The gospel is what converts hearts, what saves souls, changes minds, and makes disciples of Jesus. And those means, those tools of God's grace, are what Jesus gives us and calls us to use. So what exactly is the gospel? You hear that word used quite often in church, I'm sure. What is the gospel? Well, literally that word means good news. And it refers to the good news that God loves us so much that He sent Jesus to live the perfect life that we could not live, to keep all of God's laws perfectly for us, to die that innocent death on the cross to pay for every single one of our sins, and then to rise again victoriously on that third day to give us the assurance of our own resurrection and the guarantee of life eternal in heaven with Him forever. So let me ask you, how have we been doing at using these tools, these instruments of salvation, these instruments of God's grace that He's given us to use? Have we been sharing this good news of forgiveness, life, and salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus as much as we could have, as much as we should have? Yeah, maybe. Some days, yes. But often we must admit that we haven't always used them like we should. And I think far too often when we think of sharing the good news or the gospel of Jesus, we think about going overseas to do mission work. Last summer I had the opportunity to go and do mission work in some of the countries in Africa. Does that mean that before last summer I had never done mission work before? I was never a missionary for Jesus? When you put it that way, it sounds kind of ridiculous, doesn't it? Some of us have had the opportunities to go overseas and share the Word of God with people from different countries. Some of us have not. And some of us never will. Can we still do mission work? The answer is, of course we can. First of all, we can support the efforts of our missionaries through our prayers and our offerings. We can always do that. Secondly, we need to think about mission work, first of all, as a local thing, as where we live, the immediate area around us. If you know from the first chapter of Acts, one of the other great commissions Jesus gave to His disciples, He gave them instructions as to where they were to preach and teach. And notice what He says in the first chapter of Acts. He says, "You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Jesus was telling them to start locally, Jerusalem, the city they lived in, to spread out to the regions around them, Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Jesus tells us to do the same thing. He has put us in the city you're in the neighborhood you live in the house you're in the job, in the school you're in, for a very important and specific purpose. He wants to use you as a witness to the people in your sphere of life. And in your sphere of life, it may be very different than your neighbors or another family members. You might reach people that they cannot reach, and they might reach people that you cannot reach. Think about our personal evangelism to the people that we meet and come across each day, the people that we know in our local area. Do we make efforts to tell them about Jesus and the salvation that He's won for them? And if not, we need to ask the question, why not? Well, we can come up with a million excuses in our heads and our hearts. Maybe we're not very good with words. Maybe we're not an eloquent preacher. Maybe we can't preach the gospel like the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary of all time, or the Apostle Peter, who once preached sermons to thousands of people, and thousands of people were converted after he spoke those words of the gospel. Maybe you just plain don't know what to say. There was a great line that we were reminded of, and we reminded the children of a number of times this past week in the hymn that we're about to sing. It's the hymn the children learned during Vacation Bible School. In the second verse of that hymn, it says, "If you cannot preach, or if you cannot speak like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus. You can say, He died for all." It really is that simple. You can tell the love of Jesus. You can say simply, He died for all. You don't need to know how to preach a sermon. You don't have to write a textbook on evangelism to be a missionary for Christ. Even just memorizing a few Bible passages that are very short and clear explanations of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus, is a good place to start. Romans 5:8 is a good example of this. Just learning this passage and using it when you're telling others about Jesus. Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Or think of probably the most well-known gospel passage of all time. You might even already have this one memorized. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Simple, clear, concise, good news gospel passages that you can share with someone when you don't know what to say. At the very least, we can always invite people to come to church to know more about Jesus, to worship Him, and learn more about what He's done for them and the salvation He's won for them. Take it upon yourself each week as you see empty pews next to you or in front of you to invite someone to fill that pew or that empty seat, to come and hear about Jesus. You can always tell people, not just with your words, but also, as we were reminded this past week, we can do so with our actions. If you're not good with words, remember, people are also watching what you do. Our actions can be a great and powerful testimony to the love of Jesus as well. Obviously, words need to be there, but our actions also speak very loudly. One of the unexpected missionaries we learned about this past week was the last one, the one on Friday. It was a woman named Lydia. Lydia wasn't a trained missionary by trade. She was actually a seller of purple cloth, which was a very valuable and very sought-after dye and material at that time because it was the color of royalty. When she heard Paul preach the gospel message in her town, we're told that the Lord opened up her heart, and she believed, and she was baptized. And apparently she shared that message with her whole household because they also believed, and they were baptized. And we're told that Lydia then showed her faith by persuading Paul and his missionary companions to stay with her. And she helped provide for them and care for them while they were there in her region. She used her wealth and her resources to help support other missionaries of Christ to spread the gospel. That's also very important work when it comes to mission work. And those are all things that we can do as well. In fact, we have a very good example of it here today. A father and a mother bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to their children, bringing them to hear and learn more about their Savior in our school and in our church, and then bringing them here to be baptized today. Can you think of someone close to you that you can share the love of Jesus with? Maybe it is a family member, or a coworker, or a classmate, or a close friend. Maybe it's just someone you see every week randomly at the grocery store. There's one cashier in particular that I always see when I go to the grocery store, and she knows I'm a pastor, so she'll ask me questions about what the sermon's about, and I get to kind of talk with her, and you know if there's people in line behind, they're probably also listening. We can share the news of Christ with people even at the grocery store. Try and think specifically of one person this week in your life that you would like to share Jesus' word with, and pray for that person. Pray that the Lord would bring that person to faith through His saving word and pray that the Lord would give you the courage, the strength, and the words to say, to be the one to bring them the gospel. Pray for them and make efforts not just to witness to them, but to show them Jesus' love by your acts of kindness. Show them how much you care, and maybe also just invite them to come with you to church. You know that most people who end up becoming members of a congregation or come to church at all are because someone invited them. Not many people show up to church because of an advertisement or because of a billboard. They come because they were invited by a friend or a neighbor. You are a missionary. That's a fact. Jesus has made you one by bringing you to faith and by giving you your mission, the Great Commission. What a blessed privilege. What a great thought. We are missionaries. But what a daunting task at the same time. Left to ourselves, we could not hope to begin to keep it. That's why Jesus gives us more than a great commission in our text. Whenever I read this text, I always remind the readers that or the people listening to the sermon or remind myself that this is more than just a great commission. It also contains a great promise. Jesus fills us with confidence when he reminds us, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I don't know about you, but I tend to skip over that verse for some reason when I'm reading this one. It kind of just goes by. Then we get to the commission part. But think of what Jesus is saying in that verse and why he says that in this context. Why does he remind us that he has been given all authority in heaven and on earth? He's reminding us, he's reminding you that he is in control. Nothing in heaven or on earth can keep Jesus from carrying out his will. And he wants to carry out his will through us, through you and me. If Jesus is for us, if he is on our side, who can stand against us? The answer, of course, is no one. Jesus also fills us with comfort and strength to open our mouths to witness him and confess him even before a world that is hostile, filled with darkness and opposition to him. This is one of the lessons we learned this week when we studied the account of Stephen, the man after whom our church and our school is named. Stephen faithfully preached God's word in the face of opposition and even pleaded for the forgiveness of the men who were stoning him to death because he was preaching about Jesus. And what a powerful reminder we have here in our church of that comforting promise of God in the last book of the Bible. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. We have Jesus' own words of assurance in verse 20 of our text, in the last verse of the Great Commission, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is with you, and he is with you always. His promises are yours. You are a missionary of Christ. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.